Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Welcome to Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast. Amen. We are excited that you have joined us in the house on this evening for the Word of God that's going to be delivered by none other than my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen. So while I'm doing the announcements, please grab your Bibles, your pens, your pencils, your iPads, anything that you can take notes with and get ready to delve into the Word of God. Amen. But before we do that, let me just go ahead and just read a scripture this evening, coming out of Proverbs chapter 1. Amen. Proverbs chapter 1, starting from the 5th verse and reading to the 7th verse. And the Word of God reads as such: A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. Amen. Be encouraged, people of God, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, or the beginning of wisdom, and not the fear that the enemy brings where you're running and thinking he's going to, you know, boo, and you know, there you are in hiding. Not that type of fear. Talking about the fear of God is the reverence of the Master, the reverence of who he is, worshiping him, giving God all the glory because he is the great creator. Amen. Amen. So just want to let you know, once again, for the announcements, every Tuesday at 7 p.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. Every Thursday at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. Amen. And until November the 21st, join us every Saturday at 9:30 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. for our live worship experience, Christ the King Redemptive Ministry. Amen. That is located at 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121. If you are in the Brevard County area, please come out wherever you are. If you are not in the Brevard County area, we invite you to go to our website, www.ctkr.org. Amen. Go to the media tab, click on it, and you will see all of our broadcasts live. Amen. You can even go into our archives and catch up with what God is saying to you. Amen. And his people. Glory to God. Just want to let you know, November 14th through 16th, I am having my Women of Prophetic Destiny Fellowship. That's at 7 p.m. Amen. Friday, Saturday, and concluding on Sunday. We're located, once again, 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121. Can't wait to see you here. Amen. For the power of God, the Word of God, praise and worship that's going forth. Amen. you need to be here. Amen. That's 7 p.m. November 14th through the 16th. Also, beginning November 21st, Friday Night Jam is going to be incorporated in our repertoire. Amen. Jam, that's Jesus and Me Ministries. Amen. Come as you are. Be comfortable, because what we're going to do is come for praise, worship, giving God all the glory. Amen. We're not coming for to spectate, but we're coming to be activated. Amen. We're coming to receive what God has to say. And most of all, for those of you who have questions, amen, concerning the Word of God, we shall bring the message forth, but not only that, we'll actually get in the Word and find out what God has to say concerning our questions, amen. So we invite you all out for that. Again, that's November 21st, 7 p.m., Friday Night Jam, Jesus and Me Ministries. And also, we have finally our upcoming January 29th through February the 1st, 2015 at 7 p.m., Joshua Generation Young Warriors Conference is going to be live and in effect. Amen. You don't want to miss this, young people. And those of you who are young at heart, come out. Amen. It's going to be off the chain. Amen. With the Word of God, praise and worship. We got the singers. We got everybody's excited. The young people are ready to go. And I want to be right there with them. Amen. So that is January 29th through February the 1st. Amen. We also ask that you would please become a vision partner with this ministry. Do help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Amen. Glory to God. Those are our announcements. And you can also find us on Facebook as well as Twitter also. Amen. Hit us up there. Let us know how God is blessing you and working in your life. Amen. So now let us pray. And then after prayer, I'll go ahead and get out the way. And then the next first voice you'll hear will be none other than from Apostle Christopher McQueen. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, we bless you and we glorify your name in this house. There is no one else like you, God. We thank you for this time. We thank you for the season that is in our lives. God, we just ask in your precious Son's name as we come before you, giving your name all the honor and glory. God, let our lives be a sweet incense and a sacrifice unto you. Father, we ask that you would just pour out your favor, pour out your blessings upon us, Father, that we can continue pushing forth the vision, amen, that you have given us, the vision of the kingdom, God, birthing sons and daughters, completing the assignment that you have given each and every one of us. Father, even now, as we come before you, we humble ourselves at the throne of grace, asking for your forgiveness and a washing and a cleansing from all sins of unrighteousness, God. We ask that you would make us and wash us white as snow. Purify our hearts. Give us clean hearts before you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, God, I ask that you would just help us to begin to not only be spectators anymore, but to also be participators, being doers of your word, God, that you have called us to be. In Jesus' name, we thank you that you're activating every gift. We thank you that you're breathing upon the gifts and bringing them alive. God, we thank you for the souls. We thank you for the finances. We thank you for the resources that you're bringing forth in the lives of your people. Thank you for healing, God, in the precious, mighty name of Jesus. And we give your name all praise, all glory, and all honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen again. Well, that's my time here. Let us now make room for our pastor, amen, Apostle Christopher McQueen.
God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. I'm so grateful for what God is doing in our lives and what God is saying to us. Look at your neighbor and tell him this is the day that the Lord has made.
That the Lord
will rejoice.
Has made.
And be glad. Amen. Tonight we're doing a few things and we're just enjoying the Lord, if you will. It seems to me that we have been praying and asking God for wisdom and for direction as it relates to the assignments that he has given us. And the Lord is speaking. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm so excited that God is choosing, amen, even now to speak into our lives. Amen. Speaking into our lives and giving us understanding which way to go. Why are we going that way? What is it that he wants for us? Or what is it that he wants from us? Amen. So we're excited about this. We're loving on him and we're going to continue to love on you. Amen. One of the things that I've learned a long time ago, and that is that people go through all of their lives and they're lacking, you know, someone that really cares about them. They tend to miss that. They tend to miss, you know, out on people just being care, you know, caring about them. There's very little of that, amen. And what ends up happening is that a little love goes a long way. People look for someone to speak a kind word, or, you know, just look over here every once in a while. Say something nice. Let me know that you're, you know, thinking about me and my well-being. Amen. And it is those times that we look at, you know, the holidays, we begin to see that there are some people who are really hurting. I want to be one of those who help. Amen. And not one of those who just stand in the way. Amen. Amen. Now, tonight, I'm going to pick back up where we have been at. Amen. We're looking at the Word of God, and we're looking at what He is saying to us. We're talking about, if you will, Genesis, the 38th chapter, and we were dealing with Tamar and Judah. Amen. We started this on Saturday, and we finished the matter, if you will, on Sunday. I just want to take some time today and just go in and look at a few things here with the scripture in regard to what we were really looking at. And I think if we take some time and we pray and we ask God, He'll give us some revelation here. I like getting into the Word of God because it continuously gives. Amen. Not one time that you get into it and then you're done. No, it's going to give, and then it's going to give again, and then it's going to give again. Amen. So we're excited about that fact. Here, let's go into this Word right quick. Genesis, the 38th chapter. Amen. And I was sharing this. It's interesting that in the midst of all that was going on, here talking about Joseph, we have a break in the action, if you will. Break in the action simply to go and talk about Tamar. Amen. But you'll see that it was needed because Tamar is one of those who is listed in the Bible. Amen. And for her, it is that she gave birth to twins, Zerah and Perez. Of course, you know, Perez is, it was through him that we get David, and through David we get Christ. Amen. So we look at that and we're excited about it, knowing that what he did and what was done for the right reasons and done the right way. Amen. Amen. Let's go here. Let's begin to look at this. In the 14th verse is where I want to really focus. And it says, so she took off her widow's garments, covered herself with a veil, and wrapped herself, and sat in an open place, which was on the way to Timnah. For she saw that Selah was grown, and she was not given to him as a wife. When Judah saw her, he thought she was a harlot, because she had covered her face. Now, let's just stop there. The thing that I want to look at tonight in this time that we're here is the fact that there are some things in your life that you're going to have to come to grips with, amen? And let's be realistic. We talked about Tamar, but we talked about Judah. You have to understand that Judah was with his brothers in the previous chapter, amen? And while they were sitting back there, they were trying to figure out what they could do with Joseph. And he was a co-conspirator with his brothers, amen, as it came down to dealing with what was going to happen to Joseph. He was not one of those who stood back and said, let's not throw him in. Nah, he was one of those that was speaking with them. So when we get here, we continue to see that Judah has some ways about him, amen. And that is that even though he is anointed, even though he is a child of seed of Abraham, he still has some other ways about him. Amen. And some of you, you have to be realistic. Everybody who show up at church is not saved. Some people come into the church, and as soon as they get into the church, the first thing men and women do, they go running up to him talking about, ooh, I found him at church. Ooh, I found her at church. That don't mean nothing, huh? You know, he came and she came because somebody asked him to come. They didn't come because the Lord had touched their heart and got into their, their life to such an extent that they saw that they needed him beyond everything else. No, that's not how they got here. Amen. And you have to understand that just because you find somebody at church don't mean that they are Christian. Amen. That's just as foolish as going to the hospital and thinking everybody in there is a doctor. There's some people in the hospital because they're sick. They're in the bed. Some people are there because they're visiting those who are sick and in the bed. And then there are those who are there because they actually work at the facility, huh? But they are a doctor. Maybe they may be the custodian. You understand what I'm trying to say to you? They may work over in the cafeteria or work in housekeeping or some other form. They may be in administration. They're not a doctor, yet and still they're there. So it's foolish to think that everybody at the hospital is a doctor. Now we can take that right now and look at it and run with it and say, amen, apostle, that is right. But then there comes a time when we begin to deal with people as they are. They show up and you've already made them Dr. Reverend, huh? You and looked at them coming to the door and you and giving them a ministry and calling on their life and everything. They bit more came to the altar, ain't asked God to do nothing. They came in because a relative was sitting up in here and said, wait on me, I'll be done, you know, in a little bit. And tired of waiting outside, they came inside. You saw them inside the church, but the church, brother, sister, wasn't inside then. Judah then shows us then that you can have the name and you can have the pedigree, but you don't necessarily have the rest of it. Oh no. Some of you are looking at me a little strange right now because, you know, you think I'm talking about you, but you are not the focus of my conversation right now. It's not really about you at all. Amen. When we begin to look, we begin to speak, we begin to talk about some of these things here, there's some realities that we have to get into. Amen. Pray for my technology is acting up, amen. Judah, his name meaning praise, we see him in a dysfunctional state. And it's interesting that Tamar, throughout this whole chapter here, is is given promise by a dysfunction. Okay. See, some of you are upset because you talk about church folk and you say, you know, they're not doing this and they're not that. But you got to understand, until you come to the fullness and the understanding of who Christ is, there's going to be some dysfunctions about you and some dysfunctions through you. People are going to get hurt. I say something before, hurt people hurt people. Look at your neighbor and just say that, hurt people hurt people. You have to understand that there's some hurt folk out here, and they've been hurt for a while. They come to church because they know they don't want to go to hell. They don't want to die in their sins and go to hell, so they come to church, not because they try to be changed, because they like holding on to what it is that causes them to have a dysfunction. They'll hold on to that flaw. They'll hold on to that situation. They'll hold on to who hurt them and who did this and who did that. They'll hold on to it and refuse to let it go. Look at your neighbor and say, the Lord is still good. Amen. And here we see that she's done all the right things. She kept herself. She waited to be given. Amen. Sixth verse, Judah took a wife for Ur, his firstborn. Her name was Tamar. So she was in the right position, the right way. She wasn't out there whole thing in it, hoping somebody would still love her regardless of her experiences. Huh? No, she was a virgin. She was chaste. She was at the right place. And when she got with Ur simply means awaking, or awake, which means when she got with him, what was inside of her came alive. And let me say it like this. You can fool around with somebody. Let me make it real plain. Your first time with a relational experience changes your status. Amen? Mary had to wait until after she had a child. But she's the only one. Amen? Huh? Her status did not change until she knew Joseph. See, y'all getting too deep. Y'all too deep. Okay, listen. You are considered prior to intimate relationships as a virgin. Once you cross over that threshold, amen. You are considered what you are, not a virgin. Huh? You are now aware of what it means to be you have knowledge now. Yeah, that's a nice way to put that. Good, bad, ugly. Best thing in the world, worst experience of your life, you never don't know why you did it. Either way, you have knowledge of that experience. And the rest of your life is spent trying to get back to or build upon that experience. Okay. When Tamar got with her, she became awakened. All right? She woke up. What was inside of her was a desire, until desire was realized. And when it was realized, her eyes was open. She couldn't look at him anymore the same way, because she knew something about him now. See, we have to understand there are certain things in your life that you have to be very careful with, because you're not going to touch food with it, jump over in bed with it, huh? Go down the road, go up the river with it, whatever you do. Once you get out of that boat, you get out of that car, you get out of that bed, you get out of that situation, you have a knowledge of it that, huh? Everything you're not supposed to know something about. Sometimes we get involved with things that awaken desires. So, see, you have to understand the term or the saying, curiosity killed the cat. Sometimes we find ourselves. ourselves. We're called marks all over ourselves. Curious about things that God never gave us permission to mess with. The enemy showed it to you and caused you to look at it. You are now awake to that situation. You're awake to that circumstance. You're awake to that thing. Tamar now is wide open. She's awakened with a promise. And she didn't do it being fast. She wasn't trying to be out here getting the name for being terrible and messed up and messy and promiscuous. No, she waited until she got married. You know, promises. Oh, that'll preach all day. She held on and did what was right, even when those that she was honoring was doing her wrong. Oh, I wish I could preach this right here. Because too often we have done the same, and then we turn around and we ask God, saying, Lord, don't you see what they're doing to us? Don't you see how they're taking advantage of us? Don't you see how they're trying to position themselves? They have come out in a race, and yet and still I have done nothing to them but honor. Walked according to your precepts and how you told me. I've turned the other cheek. I've given them my other coat. They've taken my belt. I've given them the other one. Everything you said I've done, and here I am, and they're still trying to take me out. Brother, sister, let me just say something right now. Just give you a little hope in what I'm saying, and that is that God got your back. Don't worry about what the enemy's doing. Don't worry about how he's trying to come up and how he's trying to set up. The Bible says that those that come out against you will come one way, but he's going to send them before you seven ways. Don't worry about it, huh? See, certain things have to happen. They have to happen because God has already designed your outcome. How do we get to praise? You get to praise by overcoming a dysfunction. How do you overcome a dysfunction? That 14th verse. So she took off her widow's garment. Oh, nah. Supposed to go in and do what's right. He didn't. Shelah is supposed to do what's right. Jacob fearing what was going to happen with him because everything has been going bad for him. Hey, you know what? Look at this. You never hear or see where Judah is looking at what he's done to Joseph. You never see that. You just see Judah doing what he's doing, trying to figure out how to save what he got. He's lost a son, lost another son. Third son's up, don't look good for this son either. Listen, go back to your father's house. In other words, I've done all I can for you, or I've done all that I'm going to do. You need to go back home to your father's house. Listen, let me tell you something. There is times in your life when the enemy will try to set you up to go backwards, and you have to understand that your destiny is not in your past. Your destiny is in your future. Here he is trying to get rid of her. Told her to remain a widow.
Yeah, I remember that.
Some people told you to stay where you were. God spoke to me. I don't know. I don't know if I move. I don't know. I just, you know, there's some people move. You know, every time somebody try to move, they move before God. They move before God. You know, wait a minute. If I was waiting on you to get a nod and a go ahead, souls would never get saved because no one would ever be on your spiritual level. And listen, while I'm talking about this right now, we got to get past these people who come into Christianity, get into leadership, and then try to stunt the growth of the kingdom of God. You're not here to stunt the growth. Your job is to train and equip and empower them and then send them out so that the kingdom of God can be expanded. This ain't about who you train and who you laid your hand on. Brother, sister, you got this thing all wrong. This ain't about you at all. Huh? While you trying to show people, yeah, I got this many sons and daughters, many churches under me, all you doing is showing me that you have come in and begin to hoard and gather in. But it doesn't show me where you have sent them out. I thank God for true spiritual fathers and true spiritual mothers who came in and began to do the work. Because those who come in to do the work understand some of y'all gonna come in messy, but it's our job to clean you up and then send you out. A child a mess on himself, and then let that parent or whoever the guardian is take some time to clean that child up. That child will get diaper rash and all kind of other things. Let that milk go off his mouth and down into the folds of his neck, and nobody wipes that milk up. That baby soon will begin to stink and begin to have sores and rashes. So, see, you have to understand, it takes somebody to help you through your growing pains. Sometimes we have to go through with you, helping you to grow, helping you to come up to the next level. Amen. Thank God for those who do that. I could name some, but I might leave out some names. You know who you are. If your job is going out and increasing and establishing and setting foundation and shoring up the foundation of sons and daughters, and helping them that are out trying to do work, helping them to do better, then I applaud you. But for those of you who think that the ministry is nothing more than a means to ends, I'm going to preach to people because I like how the preacher wear the rings and how he got the crosses and the chains and he looked like he got everybody just running up. See, you don't understand that the reason why they're doing that is because we sold into their life. That's why they're doing all of this, amen? It's not because we just came in and we had such a smooth rap that we got the people to start throwing money at us. No, when they were sick, we were there with them. When they were in the trenches, we were there with them. When they were going through hardships and everything else, we were there with them. When they were hungry, we were sitting there with them. Now, when they get, they don't mind us eating too. Because they know that we're going to be the same, hungry or not. We're going to be the same if we got it or not. Amen. Look at your neighbor and tell him God is good. Come on. Let's finish this here. The thing that the Holy Spirit showed me here, 14th verse, so she took off her widow's garment. She took off the thing that he asked her to put on to give her a status among the people. Before he sent her back home, his instruction was go home and be nothing. You see that? Go home, be helpless. Go home and wait on the prowler. You know, you young, you might be able to make it. I don't know. It seems like every husband you touch, you messed up already. Two of my sons are already gone. You want the third one? I don't know. He got some problems right now thinking about what happened to his other brothers. Notice, the Lord took both of his brothers. The Lord took both of Judah's sons. In studying this, it even goes on to show us that Shelah was taken as well. Judah lost all his boys because they would not honor the Levitical rite and the Levitical code. It was proper for them to do what they were supposed to do, but they refused to do it. And God took all of them. She's at home. People are talking around. And I mean, if you've never gone through anything, then you'll talk about everybody. When you go through, then you want everybody to understand that you're going through. As soon as you get finished going through, you ready to get back over to the fence with a cup of sugar and start talking about, ooh, did you hear? See, this right here is something that lets us know that I can sit down here and let you talk about me and just bear what happened, or I can get up and do something about it. Thank God for those who refuse to settle on what the enemy set up in their life. The Bible lets us know, and it says it in a couple of chapters here, what the devil meant for evil, God meant for good. Look at your neighbor and just say, God meant it for my good. Come on, say it again. God meant it for my good. You gotta understand what I'm saying here. And that is that there's some things that have happened in your life, certain things that have occurred that nobody would have wished upon you. Nobody would have wished it upon their enemy. When they look at you, they cringe at the thought of what happened to you. And yet and still, what happened to you happened because God ordained it. Listen, if she had not gone through this, then God would not have got rid of the two. If she hadn't gone through this, then she would not have gotten with praise. If she hadn't got with praise, then Zerah and Perez wouldn't have came. And if Perez wasn't there, then we wouldn't have got David. If there was no David, we wouldn't have got Jesus. So sometimes what you're going through looks a little funny to you at the point of you going through it. But if you get just past it, in a little while, you look back over your life and you'll be able to see how God bought you. You'll be able to look back over your life and see how God ordained and planned it. The devil meant it for evil, but God was setting you up for good.
greater resources than you would have had holding on to what you thought you needed. when the Lord told me, come on, you die. But my wife would tell you, we have more now than we had then. Amen, somebody. God has sustained us. God has increased us. For all the people who are looking at the situation with a point of view, without knowing the facts, there came a point in time when I had to do like Tamar here and take off those little garments. See, when people send you to where they think you need to go in their mind, so you can be out of their face. They thought that they were getting rid of her. Some of you, God has taken you out the forefront so he can polish you up in the woodshed. You know what the woodshed is? The woodshed is when you go to practice and get your stuff together where nobody else can hear you. So that when you come out from the woodshed, people try to figure out how did you get the skill and the ability that you got. And it didn't come because you were standing in front of everybody else. No, it came because you went to the backside. Or where nobody could hear you, nobody could see you, and you got it together. So when you came out, you were worth seeing. When you came out, you were worth hearing. When you came out, you had the knowledge and the experience that nobody else thought you would ever get. I don't think that's true. Okay, well, let me remind you then of David. Where was David at? David was out in the pasture with the sheep. What was he doing in the pasture with the sheep? He was learning how to war. So when a bear came, he killed him. When a lion came, he killed him. You see that? Huh? Moses, where was he? In the wilderness. Huh? What was he doing back there? Watching his father-in-law just go sheep. Learning how to lead those who didn't know how to lead. Some of you think that you need to be up front when God is trying to pull you to the back. Because when you come back up front, people are going to question your ability. Then they question Moses. Who are you? Are you Abraham's seed? Then God will hear his throat. Who are you? I speak to him out the mouth. If you're not talking to his dreams and vision, why are y'all not afraid of the one I chose? See, you have to understand that when God chooses, regardless of what people say about you and where you've been in the process that you have gone through, God knows what he's doing with you. Look at your neighbor and tell him, God knows what he's doing with you. It may not be what I want, it may not be on the way that I would have chosen. I would not have gone down this path. You wouldn't have put down that same street. But guess what? We hear not. And God is getting the glory out of our life. Amen. In other words, I'm about to do something, and I can't have you recognize before I accomplish something. We don't see here where she set off to seduce anybody. She is just available for what's about to ready to walk by talent. God's strength to take care of what goes right in. And she gets the one who made the promise. He turned to her, by the way. Isn't that what happened to Moses when the burning bush come to see a spectacle? He came to see a spectacle.
Yeah.
And see, what happened there with Moses is that the spectacle that he saw in the burning bush changed his life. And Judah's life right here is about to change. Then he turned to her, by the way, and said, please let me come into you. For he did not know that she was. All the time sitting back to the same thing. Your flesh got to die so your spirit can live. You want all that stuff, get in the Word. It's in here. Amen? You get your scandal if you want it right here. Amen? Judah going to be honorable. He's still the young goat. By the hand of his friend, the devil by him. And he went and he said, there ain't no harlot here. There's never been one here. And I want you to know that regardless of what people perceive you to be and how they thought you are not what people think you are. You are who God said you are. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm not what you think. I'm what God said. So when he came back, he said, I can't find that. He said, it's just as wicked. Huh? 23rd verse, then Judah said, let us forsake them for herself. Let me be ashamed. For I sent this young goat, and you have not found her. 24th verse. Then it came to pass about 3 months after that Judah was told, saying, Tamar, your daughter-in-law, has slain a harlot. Furthermore, she is with child by harlot. So Judah said, bring her out and let her be burned. And let me tell you, there's some people waiting on your demise, some people waiting on you to be torn down, some people waiting on you to fall. I remember when I started going through this last process and training and trial that God took me and my family through, that there were those who were supposed to be praying with us, sitting back, talking about, whoo, I was way back. You see what God did? Oh, yeah, I've been waiting on this seat. Wait, now, hold on. Judah had been waiting on an opportunity to get back at Tamar, because Tamar had killed, or by Tamar, his son had died. He couldn't do it himself. But now, here she is in a position, he just know he's about to get some getting back. You see this? Bring her out here. I knew she wasn't no good. That's why my son died. That's why her died. That's why Onan died. That's why I wouldn't get see like to her. Huh? I already knew she was
Okay, hold on. She said something here, and you gotta understand, when God gives you the victory, don't get big in it.
Yeah.
Don't get cocky.
Yeah.
Just go ahead and allow God to do what he's gonna do. When she was brought out, in other words, Judah prepared the scene, because you know you just don't stone and burn somebody. You have to bring them out and publicly humiliate them so that you can seem righteous in what you do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. When she was brought out, look at this here, 25th verse, she sent to her father-in-law saying, by the man whom these belong, I am with child. And she said, please determine who these are. The sickness, the cord, and sack. But she sent those things to him instantly. The mud ain't on her face. The mud is on his face. Obviously, they did not stone her.
You see that?
They did not kill her. They did not burn her. What should have happened by the son was taken care of by the father.
I wish I had time and a good ordinance right now, because I would start talking to you about the fact that what should have been taken care of by the son was taken care of by the father. The father took his son Jesus, and Jesus took him. Judah acknowledged them and said, she has been more righteous than I, because I did not give her to Selah, my son, and he never knew her again. And it came to pass that she gave birth to him. That's the Bible right there. That's all we need to see. She did what she needed to do to get what was promised to her. It is through Selah, it is his rejection that we actually get to Judah. Judah, when we talk about, you know, your praise will bring
no credibility. No credibility caused him to have a paradigm shift. She's more righteous than we are. More righteous than I. Okay, you're right. We're going to let this one alone. Some of you are trying to figure out how you're getting out the mess that you're in right now. And I want you to know that the mess that you're in was already preordained by God. You thought that this was something that people were tricking and saying this and doing all that, and they set me up, and they was, okay, let all that stuff go. Nothing happens unless God ordains this. Amen? He's in control of this. Especially when you are a child of God. Sometimes he has to work some stuff out of you through uncommon means to get you to a place where you can get an uncommon blessing. Know that she's supposed to have a child by her. She was supposed to have a child by her. And now she lives with Judah, and she has two children. See, delay is not enough. The promises of God, even though the means you thought that they were going to come through, they're gone, they pass through, they're unavailable, don't lose your hope, don't lose faith, amen? Don't lose your hope. God has a way to bring it to pass. Because if his word went out, he's a God that cannot lie. Amen? Amen. Now, let's go ahead and pray here. Maybe you are the Holy Lord Jesus Christ and partner with me, and I pray right now that you would pray this prayer with me. If become a child of God. There's so much that he wants to do with you and through you, and this is your day, your time, your season. Come on, pray this prayer with me. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that they pray that your Bible believing, the Bible teaching ministry where they can be developed, where they can go on to do the work that you've given them to do. I pray right now for those who are sick and shuddering, Lord, that you would release your ministering angels to minister to them, healing in their body, from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet. Oh God, even in their emotions and in their mental capacities, Lord, wherever the enemy is coming and attacked and afflicted them and suffering, Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that you would begin to turn the hand of time back, Lord. Let them redeem the time and heal them in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, I pray for our sons and daughters all around the world, Lord, wherever they are, that need resources for ministry, Lord. I pray that you would make a way. Open up the door, Lord. I pray right now for miracle signs and wonders to manifest, for deliverances and souls to be saved in the name of Jesus. Lord, that you get glory out of all of our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And we thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, I say, amen, amen, and amen. Listen, go to our website, www.cckr.org. There you learn more about how to become a vision partner with us. Listen, we need your financial support, your financial help, so that we can continue to do the work that God has given us to do. It is through your financial gift that we're able to do the work that we do. Amen? And we need your help to continue on. Don't forget, November 14th through the 16th will be the Women of Prophetic Destiny Fellowship, and that is not just for the women, that's for everybody. Amen? And also, November 21st, we will be starting our Friday Night Jam, Jesus and Me Ministry. Amen. I want you to know that Jam is not just for the young people. It's for the worship. It's for the praise. It's for those who have a passion and a desire to seek after and chase after the Lord. We're here, and we're going to set the atmosphere, and then we're going to let Him have His way. Amen. Amen. I hope I can just point along with my wife, Prophetess Crystal, from Christ the King, Redemptive Ministries, reminding you that it's God's